From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fourth day of May, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jerry Gulke of the Gulke Group out of Rockford, Illinois. Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing is out of the office for the afternoon. A bit later in the program, we'll hear from Drew Lerner, too. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And along the way, I'll bring you up to date on the latest in the agricultural news on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online at willag.org, willag.org. Just one other note on this fourth day of May, I'd like to give you a definition for late planting as related to corn in the state of Illinois. It's after May the 20th.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, July corn today at $7.94 and a quarter, settled a penny and a quarter higher. September, $7.52 and 3/4, up 2 3/4. And December futures, $7.36 and a quarter, 1 cent higher. July soybeans, $16.40 and a half, 10 cents higher. And November at $14.86 and a half, up 8 1/4. July bean meal at $418.20, down $5.70. And July bean oil, $82.43, up $2.15. July wheat, $10.76 and a half, 4 the soft red, 31 cents higher for the day. The hard red July at $11.23 and a half, up 30 and a half cents. Live cattle futures at $134.82 and a half cents, and 50 cents lower. That for 100 pounds. August feeders at $176.20, down 7 1/2 cents. And lean hogs at $105.10, $2.90 higher on the afternoon. Crude oil for the day at $107.90 a barrel, up $5.49. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $4.22 and 8 tenths of a cent. That's 14 and a half cents higher for the day. And gasoline on the RBOB up 16 and a tenth of a cent at $3.66 a gallon. That's the wholesale price for the day. Natural gas at $8.42 and 7 tenths of a cent, up 47 and 9 tenths of a cent on this Wednesday afternoon. The S&P 500 up about 6 points at 4,175, and the Dow at 33,140 is 107 points higher. Now let's turn our attention to the marketplace. We're joined by Jerry Gulke of the Gulke Group out of Rockford, Illinois. Hi, Jerry. How are things going in North Dakota and Rockford?
I guess we turned a wheel. We picked up some sticks with a gator that we cleaned out a fence line. That was about it. So we haven't been in since. And we have urea bought last fall, and we'll spread that when it can. But we had 0.8 of an inch yesterday, and it was wet when we got that. And then there's more coming now. But there's 80 degrees on the forecast. So I think I always seem to forget every year how quick it can dry down with a, if it stays as breezy as it's been for the last week, why? We should be in the field, I would think, by Tuesday, and we'll see how much we can get done. We're ready to go, and I've hired a guy to do some planning, so we should be able to get a lot done in, per day if I can hold out. In North Dakota, as you know, it's been wet up there, but like my son-in-law says, I'd much rather have the rain and be prevented to plant than a year like last year where it was so dry, he didn't know if you're going to get a crop, so. Now there'll be water and potholes up there, and there'll be a prevent plant for sure. Of what magnitude, I don't know. And of course, he thinks he'll be planting yet into June, probably before he can get done. So Matt has made some moves to out of corn, and a drastic move if it holds. I mean, for example, he was thinking of 6,000 acres of corn, which is, I can't imagine having to combine that much, but they have the equipment for it. Probably cutting it to 1,000 acres because of the cost to dry it later on in the year. And he combined corn into November and December 1 year, and that was not fun, even though the price is $7. So I think they'll switch some of that to canola and not necessarily beans, but it'll go to oil seeds. And there's more of our clients in North Dakota thinking the same thing. And spring wheat, probably as much as they planned. But everything works, as you know, and there's all kinds of competition for it. But if they get rain in the latter half of May, that's going to have some serious implications. So we'll see if it'll dry out. But they went ahead and bought more air seeders, another one, so they can get running 360-foot air seeders in, they can get a lot done in a day. So they're prepared, and so is everybody else in North Dakota as well, I think.
What are your thoughts related to the Federal Reserve and what it may or may not do is on interest rates and inflation and how that impacts the ability of the American farmer to service supply chains and what demand might look like?
Well, I think everybody that I've talked to is really concerned about next year, and including we have some friends in big farmers in South America, and they're already trying to book fertilizer for next year. Their concern is for next year as well, next fall, with all the disruption on how you can make payments and so forth, and not being able to get fertilizer from Belarus. They've gone to Russia to get more of it. And of course, Brazil's a little wishy-washy whether they want to condemn Russia too much for fear of not getting the fertilizer. But I think that's the big thing this fall, and seeing the come this fall for next year and seeing the increase in natural gas. I just got a bill in the mail yesterday. Well, actually an email from Northern Illinois Gas, which is a natural gas supplier, and increased the rate as of the May bill, 60%. And of course, I immediately called the grain dealer south of me in Rochelle, and I said, so what does that mean? And he said, well, it means a 60% increase in drying costs. So, and then trucking has got a surcharge on it. So when I look at the high prices that we have, and I look at it and say, boy, you know, if we would see a slowdown globally in demand and prices would retreat, for next year would be the problem, because we've got the fixed costs so high now that, you know, I don't know if the market there goes below $6, you know, and that's the precarious situation that we're in with the Federal Reserve. And of course, my problem, I guess, is that I'm old enough to have been around in the 70s, and I saw what happened, and I saw what it took, finally, with Volcker finally raising interest rates. But, you know, if you remember back, or I read about it, you're not as old as I am, but, you know, they tried wage and price controls first under Nixon, and that didn't work so hot. That backfired, and then we had a recession, and we came out of that, and then here come the inflation, and it wasn't until Volcker got a hold of it that he put the stop on it. And of course, we were at, you know, 9-10% interest then, or 8%. And then the biggest inflation, the biggest recession in my time occurred after that, when Reagan took office and they changed the farm bill. And that was the, you know, the 80s. Remember that? I bought land for $3,200 an acre in 1982. It took me 20 years to get the price back up again. And then we had, you know, the ethanol program by Bush, and that helped things. But I may be a little bit too conservative, but I would just assume that most of the farmers have got their long-term rates locked in. I know guys I talk to have, and of course their operating loans are different. They don't lock them in for 30 years, I don't think, but some of them should have enough money made, and this year should be a great income year to be able to maybe not be a year to expand and be more of a, and not need a banker quite as much as we did this year. But the costs are going to be there, I think. And we've been having clients in Indiana who have got a lot of potash P and K bought, and they're not using as much this year and keeping it for next fall. They have it on farm because they're not sure if they're going to get enough of it next fall and what it'll cost. So the bottom line for me, when I'm looking at the Fed, and they've pretty much said, we're going to do what it takes to stop inflation. And I look at it, and I know that the Fed can do and very little, if anything, about supply in terms of food and grain. That's really Mother Nature and the war situation. But they can do things with demand, and that's how they slowed things before. And I think we'll probably, if we see that, I just hope they don't overdo it and we tip this thing over and suddenly we have too much of everything, because the global demand situation is a bigger concern for me than looking in my backyard and wondering how many acres will we plant. 1 million acres more corn, 1 million acres less beans. It doesn't make any difference in the long scheme of things. It's a global demand that I'm concerned about. And certainly we're in a catbird seat financially from an economic standpoint in the U.S. It's the other people that are going to be affected by the high prices that will get along with less. And we're, today we saw where India is going to allow the use of rice to replace wheat in some cases. And a long time ago, when I was working with Willard Sparks and I remember him telling me at Sparks Companies that he just remembered rice is a poor man's wheat. When you can't get wheat, they will eat rice in other countries. And today was the first day I heard somebody formally say that. So we're looking for alternatives. We just really have to keep abreast on what's happening on that global demand, because assuming we get a normal crop, I hate to say it, but there's a chance that we could produce too much of everything, mainly because of the demand side being less than we thought, particularly China. So I watch that daily, and I shouldn't watch it on a monthly basis, because on a daily basis, the markets are so volatile that you're not sure whether they want to go up or down on any given day, like even today.
Hey, thank you for the time, and I appreciate all the comments, Jerry.
All right. Thanks for calling.
That's Jerry Gahlke. He is with the Gahlke Group. Greg Johnson now joins us from TGM, Total Grain Marketing in Champaign County, Illinois. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you. Good afternoon, Todd.
Are farmers moving in our part of the world?
They were over the weekend until we got that rain, and then the rain yesterday has got people out of the field for the most part today. More rain coming, so it looks like it's going to be first part of next week before they can get back into the field. So right now they're getting ready to return. But as of today, I don't think too many people are running today.
I suspect they're getting pretty antsy by now.
Yes. We always talk about, well, it's still early in April. And now all of a sudden you look and the calendar switched to May and it's not early anymore. It's not late, but it's certainly not early. So we're looking at just kind of an average start, maybe a little bit below or behind average, but we can make up for a lot of lost time if we can get in the field. I have confidence that farmers have gotten more efficient, bigger, and so if the weather just gives us a five-day break, we can get a lot of stuff planted in 5 days.
By average, do you mean there's been quite a bit put into the ground in our area?
It's so variable. Some people are 70% done with corn and beans. Other people haven't started yet. Statewide, Illinois was only 10%, not even 10% planted. So with a couple of days this week, we'll probably be in that 15-20%. So we are behind, but hopefully next week we can make strides to catch up. But we're definitely behind, as you know, compared to the five-year average.
Speaking of next week, that's when USDA will release its first look at the coming crop year, the one being put in the ground right now. What are your expectations?
It seems like the government always starts with the trend line yield, and then over the course of several months, if weather conditions dictate them to reduce that, they can reduce it. So they start at 180 and then work their way down. And I personally would start at 175, and that way you could go five bushels higher or lower. But it seems like they start at the trend line, and then if something happens, they take some bushels off. So I guess we look for them to come out with a relatively high trend line type corn and bean yield number, even though we are getting started a little late. And that probably will temper any bullish basis news based on that. But then, you know, more importantly for old crop is export demand. We're starting to see some people start to show back up, and bean basis is certainly on fire here in the Midwest. The processors have improved about a dime since last week, and that's being reflected in a lot of cash bids. It's inverted, to tell you the truth. They want the beans in May and June rather than July and August. I think people are trying to get stuff shipped as quickly as they can with all the supply chain problems we've got. I think people are trying to get stuff shipped in the next 30 to 60 days and not take chances on later this summer.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM, Total Grain Marketing, here in Champaign County. Let's check in with Drew Lerner now of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good to talk with you, Drew. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, well, hopefully we're going to have ourselves a good stretch of weather next week.
That's not what farmers listening wanted to hear, frankly. Maybe you'd better tell us more about that.
Yeah, you know, we've got, I don't even know what storm number we're on now. We've had so many of these systems come across the Midwest. But over the next 72 hours, 3 days, we are going to see another system come east across the Midwest from the central plains. We're expecting rain and thunderstorms to gradually increase across portions of the plains here today. And by the time we get to tomorrow morning, we will have the rain pushing into Iowa and Missouri. And then as we go forward through the rest of the day tomorrow, it'll go ahead and extend all the way into Ohio and parts of southern Michigan and reach down into the Delta. And then it will take most of the day Friday going into Saturday to get it out of the way. So during that time period, we're going to have more moisture on top of a rather moist soil, to say the least. And we're probably going to have some minor flooding taking place, and we're going to be pretty much out of the fields during most of that period of time. So suddenly we get to Sunday morning, and we're still waiting for the ground to firm up enough to make some progress. So again, most of this is in the lower half of the Midwest, but the upper Midwest is really not doing a whole lot better. Their temperatures are cooler, of course, and they will not see nearly the precipitation that we will in the central and southern parts of the Midwest, but they will not be able to dry down for aggressive field work in a very great manner either. A little bit of work up there, though.
And then things get better next week?
Yes, yes, things do get better next week. We will see a ridge of high pressure beginning to build up across the eastern parts of the Midwest. That's going to bring us some sunshine. And it's going to bring us some warmer temperatures. We will see those afternoon highs working up into the 70s and even some 80s. And if we can string two or three days of that together, which we should be able to do, we will see accelerated drying across the area. And that indeed will put us in a position where maybe in the latter part of next week, we can actually get some work done. It'd be really nice if this pattern could hold on and take us on into that following weekend, and then we can get a, you know, we can make huge strides then.
It would be nice. Do you think it'll happen?
I think there's potential. There's a large storm system coming into the western United States, coming up against the backside of this ridge, and I think the ridge is going to be strong enough to thwart that storm into the northern plains and upper Midwest, which is not good for some of those folks up there. But it would help to prolong our opportunity for getting into the field. So I think there is some hope here that we can extend some of the drying through all of next week and maybe into the following weekend. But there is model divergence out there. I have to be real honest with you. The models are not in good agreement, and there is potential that we won't make it all the way to Friday of next week without getting a little bit of rain. But if I had to put money on the table, I'd say we're going to see a notable improvement, and there will be at least some field work that will take place in the second half of next week.
Let's stay with corn and soybean production areas for the moment, but move to South America. The safrinha or second crop corn has been, well, not in the best of conditions because I take it the monsoons dried up earlier than expected. What kind of things are happening there?
Yeah, you know, we're in the midst of reproducing and filling that corn crop. And the two states that have got a big problem right now is Mato Grosso, which is the number one safrinha producing state, and Goiás, which is in the top three. I'm not sure if it's number two or number three, but both those states have very short topsoil moisture now. And subsoil moisture is running short to pockets of very short. So the stress level is now climbing to the point where there's very little question whether yields are being impacted or not. Over half of the crop has already pushed through some of the reproduction process. So there is a limit on the downside a little bit, but these crops will continue in a moisture sensitive stage of development through another 10 days at least. And maybe two full weeks. And if that's the case, then we do have more room to lose some more yield. So this will be very important. It'll be interesting to see if we can get any kind of shower activity to come across some of that region in this next 10 days. That would help a lot in slowing down the deterioration. But at the moment, there's not much more than erratic, very light shower activity and daily highs running in the upper 80s through the middle 90s on a daily basis. So it's not a very good scenario.
Here in the United States, the hard red winter wheat crop is in just awful condition. Can you give me an assessment?
Yeah, you know, we've had a storm system move across the Central Plains already this week. In fact, we've seen a couple of systems A third one is getting underway right now, and it will spread moisture into a part of the driest area in the southwestern plains, but it's not going to do it in an efficient manner. We're going to have kind of a sporadic distribution of rain down that way. So the Texas Panhandle has had some pockets of improvement. The same thing can be said about western Oklahoma and southwest Kansas. But these areas have this one last opportunity for rain before they turn hot. And so over the next day or two, we will see scattered showers. I think most of the precipitation will be in Nebraska, northern and eastern Kansas, and central Oklahoma. And those areas will continue to see a ramping up of soil moisture and an improvement in pre-reproductive conditions. We are seeing reproduction already in Oklahoma and Texas, but I think this last crop progress report, we had about 10% of the crop in Kansas that was heading. So this is a real well-timed period to put a little moisture in the ground and improve the situation, but I'm not sure it comes quite early enough to fix all those tillers that tried to develop earlier on, and we're probably still looking at a lower crop here.
Finally, let's look further north through the Dakotas and into the Canadian prairies. What's the story there?
Yeah, you know, I'm working on a story right now. That situation up there does not look good at all. The last 30 days, they've had from 3 to 8 inches of rain across a region that normally gets a half inch to 2 inches. And in addition to that, starting on Friday night into Saturday, we're going to start pushing a regular occurrence of precipitation back across this area. Not necessarily big major storms, but a little bit of precipitation on a daily or near daily basis, taking us all the way through the weekend and all of next week and maybe even into the following weekend. It seems a little bit too much, but the bottom line is that there's going to be terrible drying conditions. And the problems with excess moisture in the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota and Manitoba, Canada is already at a pretty serious level. Flooding in southern Manitoba and northern Minnesota is probably most significant right now. So I'm not necessarily looking at high volumes of moisture, so that the flooding may not get worse, but we're not going to dry the soil out. And so the planting progress that was reported earlier this week that had not even started in some of the crop areas of North Dakota are still going to be on hold, you know, a week to 10 days from now, because we're not going to have an opportunity to dry down. So that is a pretty big concern, I think. Now, farther to the west in Montana, the western fringes of the Dakotas and in the southwestern Canada prairies, it's still relatively dry biased, and they may get a little bit of moisture, but not a lot. And so the worry out there is still over the drought.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you taking so much time with me today.
Yeah, you bet. Have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, came to you from Illinois Public Media.